Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of John, chapter 18. Let's stand together, if you would, John chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 12, and then we'll be skipping a few verses and be going over to verse 19. But if it says verse 12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. In verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Dear Heavenly Father, when we read these words, we are sorrowful. We understand, Lord, that it was necessary that Jesus die. But when we actually read the words, we are grieved. But Lord, we are thankful that the sacrifice was made and that Jesus rose again triumphant from the grave. We ask, Lord, now you would bless this time that we have together around the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verses 19 and 20. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. A time to make a decision, folks, for Christ or against Christ. And may I say, in our world today, fewer and fewer are making that decision to follow Christ. There are a lot of things that are taking his place. None of them good. And so many of them distracting. But we must make the decision. Take your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We will not be coming back to John. But Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Dr. James Smith writes, There are only two religions in the world, that which emanated from the heart of man and that which has come out of the heart of God. The one is only a fantasy, the other is a revelation. Two ways. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Did I say verse 13? Okay. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, two gates, two ways, two companies, two ends. A lot is said here in these two verses. We find that Jesus is speaking at what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. and he has much to say. And when he is done, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The way into life. What does this life mean? This life that Christ provides is a life of safety from the penalty of sin. Man deserves what? Deserves hell. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go there? Hell's a terrible place. We don't find it in the Word of God spoken of as a place where you're going to play cards, have a six-pack of beer, and just fool around. No, it's a place of torment. It's a place of anguish, a place of crying. It's a place of memory, folks. A place of separation from God. It's a place of torment. That we find it's a place of safety from the penalty of sin and everlasting fellowship with God. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to spend eternity with God? We cannot imagine it. Now, folks, there are some amazing places in our world that have been built by men. My wife was showing me a picture the other day of some place over in Europe, and the city was built along some cliffs, and at the base was the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a beautiful place, but heaven's going to be far greater. Well, we have seen the pictures of the Taj Mahal, and there's that castle in Germany, and there are many places that we have seen that just amazing that man has been able to build, but none of them will compare to heaven. And there'll be no one that we'll want to be closer to than our Lord and Savior. The gate suggests the idea of a city, a place of safety. But note that it is an open way. It may be straight, but thank God it is not shut. The gate is not shut yet. Revelation 3:8 says, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Who shut the door on the ark? God shut the door. Do you ever find that interesting? Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. My wife and I were in Kentucky last year, and we stopped in at the Ark exhibit there made by the Answers in Genesis group, and we went and we toured the Ark. And may I say this, that the first sight of the Ark as you come around the bend on the bus, and you see how mammoth that Ark was that Noah built, it just takes your breath away. But as you go inside and you begin to see the different exhibits, and then you come to the door, and they have this huge double door entrance. Now it's shut because God has shut the door. Now in that case, it was built with the door shut. But Noah didn't shut the door. God did. Now, I've had one other pastor in my life, and that was Brother Alvarez in Texas. And Brother Alvarez believed that when it came time for Noah and for the animals to leave the ark, they had to chop their way out because God had shut the door. Now, I can't prove that. It sounded like good preaching. And because Brother Alvarez had graduated valedictorian from his graduating class, I presumed he knew all the answers. We were singing that song, Dwelling in Beulah Land, and it talks about retreating. We could never sing the second verse of that song. Because Brother Alvarez said Christians should never retreat. Brother Alvarez graduated valedictorian of his class, and he knew everything. But may I say this, that right now the door is open. But when we die, the door is closed. And the decision has already been made. This way was once closed by sin, but the Lord has opened the door through his sacrificial death on the cross. There are no back doors in heaven. Did you catch that? There are no back doors to heaven. There's only one way that leads to heaven. I don't care how many times the bumper sticker is seen driving down the road on the car in front of you that says coexist. Folks, there is no way Christians can coexist. We are the children of God. And to coexist means that we are mingling with those who are not the children of God. Now you say we live in this world. Absolutely. We live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. We are to be different. We are to be separated. We are to be different. If we find here that there are no back doors, Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. He shall be saved. John 10:1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Other religions will take you to the wall, but they can't get you inside. See, religion is man's attempt to satisfy God. Christ came so that God is satisfied with us. First, it is an open door. Second, it is a narrow way. We find that in chapter 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There are two gates. One is narrow and the other wide. It would seem to indicate that the majority of mankind is on their way to hellfire and the wrath of God. Does that bother you? That doesn't sound like it bothers too many of you. Let me ask that again. Does it bother you that the majority of humans are going to hell? It should bother us. It should bother us that people have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you have someone in your family that right now you believe they're on their way to hell? Most likely all of us can say yes. That I have some parents, or I have some children, or I have some siblings, I have some cousins or uncles or aunts, I have some grandparents that if they die right now, they're going to hellfire. Because the gate is wide and there are many that travel that way. Warren Wiersbe says that the greatest danger when choosing which gate we will enter is that of self-deceit. That we deceive ourselves, that we say, and this is it, I'm good enough. I mean, I'm not a bad person. I haven't murdered anybody. What did Jesus have to say about murder? If we've thought about it, it's what? It's murder. You say, gentlemen, well, I've never committed adultery. Well, if you've thought about it, it is. Ladies, if you have thought, wow, I'd sure like to have him as a husband. Man, I think he'd be great. Wow, I wonder what it'd be like to be married to him. If you've thought it, you've done it. We deserved hellfire. Thank God for heaven that sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Thank God. We find that the narrow gate is open, but only a few will take it. Many will shun it, preferring the darkness to the light, because their deeds were evil. See, we find that the door is open. We find it's a narrow way. And third, we find it's a way of the few. It's the way of the few. Many will shun it and put off entering because they believe it will cost them too much, choosing rather to have the pleasures of the world to the righteousness of Christ. Not yet. Not yet. I'll do it later. For some people, the later never comes. We find that Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It should be our desire to know the Lord. Number two, the way of destruction. The word destruction here means loss. It says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. It is the loss of that which can save. It's a loss of that which will satisfy. all of us will be called to judgment. And when we stand before the judge of the universe, the only thing that will keep us out of hellfire is that we've been covered by the blood. You thank God for the blood? The blood of Christ. It is a broad way. It is a crowded way. It's a fatal way. There is plenty of room. And there has to be, because there's millions and billions of people. I read this past week in one place that says that we have 7.5 billion people in the world today. 7.5 billion. I read another place that said we have 8 billion people in the world. Whatever it is, a lot of people. And over 60% of them, or 60% of them are in India and China. And yet if you go look at our mission map, how many missionaries do we have in India and China? We don't have any there. Oh, we have some that are trying to get Bibles in, and we have some that try to go there and minister, but it is hard. There are large portions of this world that have no testimony for the cause of Christ. There's plenty of room. It is a place full of the sinner's likes and pleasures on the way to hell to keep them going in the wrong direction. And I know sometimes as believers we think, well, why do they get all the fun? Folks, it isn't fun. We find that we live in a world that is confused because they've stopped using the Word of God. There are so many churches today that have stopped using the Word of God. On this broad way, the self-righteous is there. And there are a lot of self-righteous people. I'm a good person. I don't kill anybody, and I don't steal, and I don't fool around. I'm a good person, the self-righteous. The followers of man's religions are there on this broad way. Oh, they have the bumper sticker on their car that says, "We coexist," but God isn't interested in us coexisting. He wants us to be separate. He wants us to be different. The scoffer is there. Those who laugh at the Word of God. Those who laugh at the idea of a seven-day creation. Those that laugh at the idea of a worldwide flood. They laugh at you if you're a believer. The scoffer is there. Those having itching ears are there. Oh, they don't mind going to church as long as they're entertained. Entertainment will not get us into heaven. By the preaching of the word, men and women are saved. So it's a broad way. It is a crowded way. Many go in thereat. If I were to ask you, what is the one place that was so crowded you just felt like, oh, I can't stand being here? Oh, yesterday when I was on the Hall Road, I thought it was Saturday. Well, I knew it was Saturday, but I thought because it was Saturday, there wouldn't be that much traffic on Hall Road. Dumb. I don't know why Pastor Stephen let me go there. And once I got there, he didn't have any suggestions. But I got us to where we were going, didn't I? I made a wide detour, but we got there. You ever been at the Silver Dome? I understand they're going to destroy that. Did you hear that? They're going to bring it down. They should have made the Ford family take care of that when they left the Silver Dome to move down to Detroit. But I was there on Thanksgiving Day when it was packed. My dad had purchased 2 tickets. He gave one to Bob, and then he was afraid to go, and he sent me. And we were there on the game that was the shortest overtime in NFL history. You may remember it. There was the kickoff to begin the overtime, and the Chicago Bear player received the ball and ran for a touchdown. And so as we are leaving the stadium, there are all those that were out getting, you know, some more refreshments or had gone to the bathroom, and they're trying to get in as we're trying to get out. Man, it was total chaos. Crowded places, airports, malls, Niagara Falls, crowded places. On the road to hell, it's a crowded place. And they're all convincing themselves it's okay. It's all right. Because all religions lead us to heaven. No, all religions don't lead to heaven. We find that it's downhill. You know, it's always a lot easier to walk downhill, isn't it? A whole lot easier than walking uphill. The heart of man is deceitful and wicked and naturally prefers the pleasures of sin to the fellowship of God. Now you ponder this. If you would rather be with the lost than with the saved, ponder that thought. Our desire should be to want to be with the saved, the redeemed of the Lord. Because after all, you're going to spend all eternity with them. So you might as well get to know them well here, right? How many children are being pulled through the broad gate because the parents refuse to follow the leading of the godly? How many children are going to be entertained right into the pit of hell because they know nothing of Jesus Christ? We find that it is a broad way and it's a crowded way, and last but not least, it is a fatal way. This Broadway has only one destination, destruction, hellfire, separation from God. Decisions have to be made. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Ezekiel 31:11 says, turn ye, for why will ye die? Jeremiah 21:8 says, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Which brings us to the conclusion. Choose wisely. Choose life. Choose wisely. Folks, we need to be standing at the gate and bringing them back to the right gate. We need to be giving them something that they will say, hey, I'm going the wrong direction. And I believe this, and I can't prove this, but I believe those that have entered the wrong gate can come back. And you better hope they can. Because it's not until they die that they can't come back anymore. But while they're alive, your prayers can be sent to them. I mean, you're praying to the Lord, but the Lord can answer those prayers. They can be on that way that's leading to hellfire. But they better turn back. In a moment, we're going to pray. We have this invitation time. You know someone that needs the Lord? Maybe you'd like to come at the invitation time and sit on the front pew and pray for them, or kneel at the altar. Family member, a friend, an acquaintance, someone that you care for, you'd like to come and you'd like to pray and say, Lord, make them turn around. Make them turn around before it's everlastingly too late. Shall we stand together? Decisions. Multitudes in the valley of decision. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we give the opportunity even today. And if you know someone that hasn't made the right decision, maybe you'd like to come and pray for them. Our song of invitation will be 401 Only Trust Them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, now that you have each and every one of us today, Lord, give us the courage to be a. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.